Kids, come on down here with me this morning. All right, you guys come a little bit closer because we're going to have a little interaction with them this morning in a very unique way. Every Wednesday afternoon, we have a little thing at the Georgetown office called the Treehouse. Ms. Terry headed up, started up, and myself and Tim Farmer, we teach the young boys, young men in there. And as we talk about a lot of things, one of the things I talk about every week with them, and I hope James and Stuart can verify this, because I know they're paying attention every Wednesday afternoon, is this. Is one of the things I remind you guys is that God loves you. Is that fair, James, Stuart? Did I tell you that almost every Sunday went? Okay. Now, listen to this. Next Saturday is a day that people made up. They created. And it's called Valentine's Day. Supposedly named after a gentleman by the name of St. Valentine. But that's for a history lesson another day, another time. By the way, men, next Saturday is Valentine's Day. No charge of that, okay? Mike, don't forget, next week's Valentine's Day, James. Anyway, next Saturday is supposedly when we have one of those times where we concentrate on telling the people that we're closest to that we love them. Because, supposedly, we do love them. And we want to tell them and maybe show them. Okay, maybe eat somewhere special, have a special meal, get flowers or cards and so forth, okay? And candy. But one of the things about that is that that's one day of the year. One day of the year. Now you think about something. What if your family, your friends, the people that you love only told you one day of the year that they loved you? The other 364 days, you would go around and go, well, no one else has told me they love me. No one else has told me they love me. I got to wait till February the 14th to tell me someone to tell me that they love me. That'd be a long time, wouldn't it? And most of you have heard, even though you're young by this point, many, many times over John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, Jesus Christ. Okay? You read that over a lot? That's good. Hold on. But this morning, I want us to do something. Okay? This morning, I'm telling you that God loves you and you and you and you and you and you and you. But I want you to do something. I want you to stand up and I want you to go out there and I want you to tell a few of them that God loves them. I want you to get up. Go out there and tell them. Go out there and tell them that God loves them. Pick somebody. Don't forget about Mr. Gary, Mr. John up there in the booth. Go. Go tell them. Well, you don't have to just tell the people you tell all the time. Go ahead and tell a few of them. Look them in the eye and say, God loves them. James, I didn't say do the sprinkling of the masses. Okay? Hey, Stuart, listen. Actually, tell some in that group that God loves them, because he might be the only one sometimes. So, all right, when you're done, you guys, come on, sit back down when you're finished. Okay? Did anybody tell John, Mr. Gary, Mr. and John up there that God loves them? Yeah, but you just did the God loves them. All right, have a seat. Go ahead, have a seat. Go ahead, have a seat. All right. It's important that you know that God loves you no matter what, but I believe it's just as equally important to tell others that God loves them no matter what. And you know what? Some of them, if they were being honest with you this morning, would tell you they've probably struggled this week. Does God really just simply love them? And so I want you to know, I want you to take ownership, take it to heart this morning, guys, that yes, it's important that you know that God loves you every day of every moment of every day, but it's just as equally important to tell other people that God loves them no matter what. And it's just as important. And how easy that is. It was easy to walk here, especially if you're James. James, you can just go down Broughton Street. God loves you. God loves you. I'm just joking with you, James. It's okay. I know. But it's how important it is to look in people's eyes and say, God loves you. And God loves you, Nick. And God loves you, Zoe. And God loves you and you and you, Will. Okay? So, and you too, James. Okay? So this morning, I don't want you to just say, I know God loves me. I want you to think about God's love in your life and the way He surrounded you with it. But also, particularly as next Saturday, you hear people talking about Valentine's Day and that God loves them and others. Let's pray. Father, we thank you today for your love for us. It's awesome. And it is great. It is more than we can comprehend. Lord, I pray for these young people that, Lord, that truth will be a foundational truth in their life. Seal that with them today, Father. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right, guys, you can go in the back. I just want you to know, you guys have heard like cliche phrases, herding cats or something like that. I promise you, every Wednesday afternoon, I live that phrase, okay? I live it, breathe it, see it, experience it in the fullness of God's glory in my 8 to 10 little boys, okay, that come visit us. I want us to pray, but I want you to pray with me this morning. I want you to pray for something that I'm asking you to pray with me about, okay? And that is this, that you will receive in your heart this morning what God wants to say. He's probably already spoken to you. He may have spoken to you at 2 o'clock this morning. You thought you were just getting up because you couldn't go back to sleep. And God may have been saying something very simple, but He also may speak to you at 2 o'clock this afternoon. I'm asking you to ready yourself for what God wants to say and maybe has already said to you. It'll go by quick today, Will. Do you realize we're already a month and a quarter into the new year? It went by fast, didn't it? And we will be to the end of this year before we know it. So these next few moments will go by quickly. But we don't want to miss God. So I want, as I pray for us, I'm asking you to ask God to speak to you and not miss it today. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, I know you're here. I also know you're a good God. I know you're a faithful God. I know you're a generous God. But Lord, at the same time, I know you desire to be close to us. You're not too busy for us this morning. Lord, you're anxious to be a part of our lives. And God, I thank you this morning. Your word says you're slow to anger and abounding in love. Father, in just a moment, as we open up your word, share a few thoughts, help us to hear all you're saying and doing. May this time be a blessing for your glory and your honor. Holy Spirit, do what you've come here to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Kathy and I have a picture in our house. It's actually more of a sketching. And if I remember correctly, I think Pam Jones gave it to us. Jesus holding a lamb. It's a sketch drawing of Jesus holding a lamb. And it hangs by our front door. And the reason why it hangs there is that's because Kathy and I decided that that would be a good place to put it, because as we leave our front door, we can look at that. So we didn't just casually hang a picture of Jesus holding a lamb in our house somewhere. We took the time to say, where does it fit in our house, in our home? Where does this picture of Jesus fit best? And so we chose to do that. We chose to want to be able to see that picture as we leave our home every day, all day. We just want to stare up at the wall. There it is, Jesus hanging a picture, or a picture of Jesus hanging up, holding the lamb. And this morning, I start off with telling you that story is this. All of us in this room probably could answer the question, how are you with busy? That might be true. You might think you're busy, but I would ask you, are you fruitful? Are you productive in life? Or do you feel like you're spinning your wheels? This morning, the title of my thoughts I'm going to share with you would be Fitting God In. And we're going to look at a piece of scripture that probably you've read a few times, but maybe not a whole bunch. And that is found in Exodus 33, verses 7 through 11. So let's read this, and we'll share what God has on our hearts together this morning. It was Moses' practice to take the tent of meeting and set it up some distance from the camp. Everyone who wanted to make a request of the Lord would go to the tent of meeting outside the camp. Whenever Moses went out to the tent of meeting, all the people would get up and stand in the entrances of their own tents. They would all watch Moses until he disappeared inside. As he went into the tent, the pillar of cloud would come down and hover at its entrance while the Lord spoke with Moses. When the people saw the cloud standing at the entrance of the tent, they would stand and bow down in front of their own tents. It was Moses' practice to take the tent of meeting and set it up some distance from the camp. Everyone who wanted to make a request to the Lord would go to the tent of meeting outside the camp. Inside the tent of meeting, the Lord would speak to Moses face to face as one speaks to a friend. Afterwards, Moses would return to the camp, but the young man who assisted him, Joshua son of Nun, would remain behind in the tent of meeting. It's verse 11 that we're going to focus on this morning. It's verse 11 this morning that we're going to look at as being able to fit God in. Because I would ask you some evaluation questions here real quick. Would you like to feel the presence of God more? Would you really like to understand His voice better? Would you like to be able to discern His voice in your life? Are you willing to do what's necessary to know that God is speaking to you and really does have a plan? Do you want God in your life, or are you trying to just squeeze Him in where you can? Because I would say that some of you this morning, you're just trying to squeeze in life. You're trying to squeeze in all facets of your life, some family time. Probably some of you find yourself so busy, if you're honest with yourself this morning, that if breathing wasn't involuntary, you'd probably be dead because you'd have forgot to breathe. Guys, we got to stop believing the culture says that's the right thing to do. We got to stop believing those lies and understand that fitting God in is not acceptable to Him. And it shouldn't be acceptable to us. Because this morning, a lot of you that I'm looking at, I know that you've accepted Christ into your life. But I also know that there are times that you wake up and you think, if something doesn't change, all that life's going to become is a drag, dreary, over and over, same old, same old. Fitting God in is not God's plan. It is not part of God's plan to just simply be squeezed in for a moment there or a moment here. So let's look at point number one about fitting God in. There's verse 11 for you to think about again. Inside the tent of meeting, the Lord would speak to Moses face to face, as one speaks to a friend. Afterward, Moses would return to the camp, but the young man who assisted him, Joshua son Nun, would remain behind in the tent of meeting. Truth number one, with God, it's not a relationship, it's the relationship. If you're struggling with other relationships, you better start at number one and work your way down. Because if you're struggling with number one, I guarantee you the rest is going to suffer. That's a fact. That is an absolute fact. You see, we're looking at a relationship between a sovereign God and us humans. But He didn't create us just because He had nothing else to do. He wasn't filling time. He was creating us for that personal relationship. Some of you might need to look at this as more of a friendship. Because it says in John 15:15, that's not up there. I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. For everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. It's the relationship. We're not adding God. He's over all of it. But how do you view that relationship this morning? Is it just something you've added to your life? Is spending time in His Word just something to do? Or is it an opportunity to be with the One who wrote it? Is it an opportunity to be with Him? Because I want you to know, the fact is this, when it comes to Scripture reading or Bible study, we don't need to move on to interpreting in the Greek and the Hebrew and the Aramaic until we can be obedient with the English, okay? I mean, we just got to keep it simple sometimes. Until you're obedient with what it's right in front of you, then don't move on to something else. Because God loves you enough, and He'll call you back to lesson number one. You didn't move on to algebra until you knew 2 plus 2 was actually 4, and you didn't have to think about it. It's not just a relationship, it's the relationship. The few weddings that I've been a part of so far in my life, one of the things I always remind the young men is that the lady he is marrying isn't on the list as far as women in his life. She is the list. And if he messes that one up, oh, he's in trouble. Big trouble. So this morning, it's not just a relationship. It's the relationship. Point number two, John. There's the verse again. I remind you about that verse. Number two says, want Him more than anything else. Now, be honest with yourself this morning. I asked you when we were praying to evaluate this. Are you really wanting Him more than anything else? Are you really wanting Him to give you things more than anything else? Big difference. Are you wanting the Creator of it all, or are you wanting the Creator of all for handouts? Because really, That's the way the American church functions very often. The relationship is speak to the hand, but give me something from your hand. Do you want him more than anything else? I read this quote this week, and this quote hurt me. It's by J. Oswald Sanders. Okay, it says, makes a piercing observation. We're at this moment as close to God as we really choose to be. True, there are times when we like to know a deeper intimacy, but when it comes to the point, we are not prepared to pay the price involved. We are not prepared to pay the price involved. I don't know what the price you may have to pay to want him more, but I want you to know something. Consider what he's already paid to be in a relationship with you. I really don't think you're going to have to pay as much back. Considering that we're not talking about salvation here, we're talking about a close intimacy. That wanting him is on you. That being honest with God and saying, God, I know that you're just kind of an addition to my life, and I want you more than anything. That's a good starting point. That wanting him is very, very, very primary into having the relationship with him. But paying the price? Hey, are you willing? Are you willing to get up a little extra earlier? Are you willing to go to bed a little early so you can get up and spend some quiet time with him? Because I'm sure a lot of you here, there are times you're thinking, I would like to have more relationship with him, but I just can't fit that in. I can't fit in life group. I can't fit in Sunday morning this week. I can't fit in whatever you know that God would ask you to do. And God's saying, you got to want it. You got to want it. I read a story this week about at the University of Northern Iowa. They had a little experiment. A class took home with them lemons. They sent a whole class home with lemons. Each person had a lemon. And they were supposed to spend a week with their lemon. And it was supposed to be with them all the time. Like, they put it in their pocket, hold their hands, all that good stuff. At the end of the week, they came back to class. The professor said, I'll put all your lemons in this bag right here. Put all their lemons in that bag. And he or she passed the bag around and said, I want you to pull out your lemon. And they were able to do that because they'd spent a week with their lemon. They also didn't know just their lemon. They knew the lemons that weren't theirs. And they had spent enough time that they could recognize that which they had spent time with. Remember I had us pray earlier this morning about hearing God's voice, recognizing God's voice, all that good stuff? Well, it's easy to recognize a voice when you spent time with the person that's doing the speaking. But you have to want it. I mean, want it. You got to come hungry at times. One of the cool things I like about this story about Joshua was this. It said when Moses would go out to be with the people, because Moses wasn't seeking God just to seek God, they were in the desert, and Moses was seeking God because all these people had a lot of questions. Joshua would stay behind. Now, we could probably have a list of reasons that Joshua stayed behind. Maybe he was just hanging out. But I like to think that he stayed back in the tent because he wanted to be near the presence of God. Because I read to you earlier, the presence of God would come and hover. It would come and go. Joshua, I think, was hungry for the presence of God. How awesome the presence of God must be to be that almost tangible way for Joshua. He wanted it. How important was it that he wanted it? Well, he was getting ready to take over. And you know something? He had already seen, oh my Lord, there's a million of these knuckleheads, and if I don't have God's voice in my life, their voice is going to rule me. So I would ask you this question. What voice rules you? Voices. Now, don't go crazy this morning. Okay? Don't get crazy with the voices in your head. Okay? But there's a lot of chatter. A lot of chatter in our world today. There's a lot of opinions. There's a lot of voices. There's a lot of just noise. I believe something that our culture has become not immune to, that we're affected by it more than we think, and that is this, we can't stand quiet. Okay? One of the things I love to do to my kids on Wednesday night, if I'm leading, is I love to throw out a question, and then with no answers, just sit them left there and let's just let them sit there and suffer a little bit in quiet. No one wants to say anything. Okay? Because we're scared, I think, a lot of times, of just simply being quiet. Oh, my Lord, no one's saying anything. What do we do next? How about just be quiet? That's a crazy idea. Okay? Or we can do the other thing that our culture has taught us to do. Let's get out our phones and look down at them. Maybe no one will notice that we're quiet. Okay? Because how easy it is to talk to someone else or check what someone has posted on some form of social media than it is to be personal with those closest to us. Because there, something might be required. Well, I'm telling you, Jesus paid the price, but he's requiring that you want him and recognize that he is the relationship. Point number three, John. Fitting God in. God does not want to be fit in. Now, we fast forward in the story of Joshua. We're getting ready. The Israelites are getting ready to go across the Jordan, and they're getting ready to take Jericho. So Joshua's hung out in the tent of meeting for a while. And now comes this story. The title is part of his, the commander of the Lord's army. When Joshua was by Jericho, he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, a man was standing before him with his drawn sword in his hand. And Joshua went to him and said to him, "Are you for us or are you for our adversaries?" And he said, "Nope, but I am the commander of the Lord's army, and now I have come." Pause. Think about it. Lord's army. Good guys, bad guys. Lord's army standing there with a drawn sword. Something getting ready to happen. Joshua fell on his face to the earth, and he worshipped and said to him, "What does my Lord say to his servant?" And the commander of the Lord's army said to Joshua, "Take off your sandals from your feet, for the place where you are standing is holy." And Joshua did so. What does that have to do with God does not want to be fit in? Joshua thought, "Are you with me or are you against me?" The commander of the Lord's army, which, by the way, some people, that might be an archangel, could have been Jesus, different theories. Anyway, the commander of the Lord's army said this, "Joshua, don't be so small-minded. I've come to take it all over. I'm not here on one side or the other. I represent the sovereign God of the universe, and everything is under my authority. And where you're standing is under my authority, so it's holy. So take off your shoes, because God's here. And God's come to take over." So in your life, God doesn't want just your finances or your time or where you go to work or just one area. The commander of the Lord's army showed up and said, "I want it all." And that scares us. That's frightening to us because we love control, don't we? We love to control. And the commander of the Lord's army said, "Joshua, take notice, big boy, because I'm here to take over." And then just a few short days, some other events happened, and that's when you read the story about him marching around Jericho and the walls falling. But do you see that Joshua, back at the tent of meeting, had to spend time in the presence to get the relationship and then understand something else even past that? That God wanted to take it all over. That requires surrender. That requires our part saying, "You know, God, you really are bigger than all this. I'm challenging you this morning to quit adding God to your life and let Him truly take over." To truly surrender to Him. I just finished a book. It was about the USS Indianapolis sinking in World War II. If you don't know the story, I'm not going to bore you with it other than it was sunk by an enemy submarine. But I read a book by the name of Edgar Harold, gentleman was on there. He was a Christian before he went on the ship. He was from Kentucky, too. Hey, he's a great guy, wasn't he? So I might even been kin to him. I don't know. We're from Kentucky, for those who don't know that. Yeah. But he said something very, very important. When the ship went down, him and about 900 other soldiers were in the water. And slowly, as day turned to night, 4 days went by. Sharks got some. Drinking salt water got some. Can't drink salt water if you don't know that, by the way. Salt water got some. And just simple being delirious, going crazy, got some. After 4.5 days, about 300 and some of them were rescued, and he was one of them. But throughout the book, he constantly said, one of the differences about him was this. Whether it be during the day, God was sovereign. Or whether it be at night, he would look up at the stars, and God was sovereign. And he would tell his fellow soldiers, "Hey, you know what? God is really in control of all this. And some of his fellow soldiers would say, you've been drinking salt water? You know, we're out here in the middle, and they really were out in the middle of the ocean. They were 400 to 500 miles from the nearest land. And he was out there in the middle quoting scripture. And one of the differences between him and so many of the other soldiers that he was around was this. He didn't wait till he was in the fire to get the relationship with God in order and surrender. His relationship with God was already there. Because he quoted here, he would share stories about how so often the guys would be in the ocean promising all they were going to do for God if they just saved him. And he said, I didn't have to worry about that. Because if tonight or day is my last day, I'm good. And I won't bore you with the details, but let me tell you something. He was miserable. Absolutely miserable. Okay? God doesn't want to be fit in. God doesn't want to be added to. God wants all of your heart. In fact, God's really, I don't believe God's interested in your stuff. He's interested in your heart and you. He wants you to think about Him. He wants you to tell Him how much you love Him. He wants you to be willing to make the sacrifices necessary to understand His purpose and plan in your life. He wants you to say, God, I just want you, period. You and I live in a culture that right now is full of a lot of anger, a lot of hatred, and a lot of other, and you can fill in the blank, whatever word you want to use this morning, but you think about how powerful the love of God opposes that. That is powerful. It is more powerful than words can understand or grasp this morning. So I would encourage you to think about this with me this morning, okay? This is the last point. That's the last point. What obstacle keeps you from surrendering all your heart to Him? Again, I'm not asking you about the stuff. I'm talking right here. We got to start right here. Because I've noticed that wherever my heart desires and is passionate, my feet follow. My hands follow. Because you know what it looks like when I'm not passionate about something? I guess. I'll get around to it. I get to it, you know. You know, God has blessed me to where I pick up the Barnes three boys at school sometimes during the week. I take them sometimes too. But when we pick them up, and I want you to know something, that they're walkers. It means that I go and I wait for them to be released. I want you to know something. I've never seen one kid at Georgetown Elementary School have to be made to lead the school. Okay? Now, there might be some, I just haven't seen them. Maybe I just haven't seen them. Most of them, this is literally the truth, literally true. Georgetown has these brick columns. If this was one of the brick columns, I literally stand as close as possible because you will get ran over. Because there's middle schoolers there. They're not all little kids. I'm going like this. Because there's a passion to get out of there. Okay? And you know what? Truth of the matter is, I am too. I'm afraid they'll make me go back. But I'm asking you, where's your passion? Because until He becomes your passion, all you're doing is adding Him to you. All you're doing is just adding. To experience the fullness of God requires a passion. It requires a surrender. It requires a hunger and a thirst that cannot and will not be satisfied but by the very presence of God. Those aren't churchy words to me. They might be to you, but they're not to me. Absolutely not. Because I know the world we live in is full of chaos and confusion. And if I'm not seeking Him, I basically don't know my butt from a hole in the ground. Okay? I know they'll remember that. That may be the only thing they remember this morning, but they'll be quoting it back to me probably. Okay? So you and I have a lot at stake. So I'd ask you this morning, what is standing in the way of total surrender for a passion for the very presence of God? Because I want you to think about this as I get ready to pray for us. Gary, you can start. Oh, you're going to have to come down the middle aisle, aren't you? Come on down. Come on down. Come on. Come on down, Gary. Come on down, Gary. Hey, does everybody know that Gary's oldest daughter gets married next Saturday?
Tell them that's not Maya, though.
No, I'm not going to tell them that. Let's let them guess. It's not Maya. It's Bailey. Bailey. We're praying for Maya, but that's another story. One day, Gary. One day. One day. Guys, I want to make it very practical for you. If you're struggling this morning, He's a God of comfort. He's a God of peace. He's a God of love. But I want you to know that if you don't have a passion for Him, then you're only making it hard on yourself. He's going to draw you. He's going to woo you. He's going to love you no matter what. That's true. But He's not going to force you. So He's saying, hey, I love you. I just want you to love me back. I sometimes wonder, Joshua, when the tent of meeting was gone, how often he may have longed for to be able to go hang out in that tent of meeting, whatever the reason for being there. Okay? So this morning I'm going to pray for us. Our altar will be open. Rick and Regina will be up here. The altar is open. Those prayer cards are there for you so we can pray with you. But I'm challenging you to stop fitting God in. I'm challenging you with that. Stop fitting Him in. Okay? Let's pray. Father, I thank You today that You do not give up on us. Father, You are generous and You are kind and You are good and You are loving. But God, just to describe it in awe, You're awesome. You're awesome in this place. You'll be awesome at my house. You're going to be awesome on Abercorn today. And Lord, we might think the devil rules Abercorn, but wrong-o, God's sovereign of Abercorn too. You're sovereign of Savannah. Father, Your creation You love, and we're part of that. So this morning, God, I pray You'd help us discern what You're stirring on our hearts and help us to be passionate about You. In Jesus' name, amen. Fill out those cards, and the altar's open. Grab somebody else to pray with. You need to pray with somebody else besides Rick, Regina, and Kathy now this morning.
Hey, this is McCall Manning. Long awaited, much prayed for. All of this is a lot for her to take in. She's trying. We're definitely processing still too. I think maybe we'll get it like in 6 months to a year from now, what all happened. But I just want to take the opportunity to praise God for all He has done. And to just, if you ever find yourself doubting that God delivers on His promises, I just hope that when you see this little girl that it will remind you of that, even if it takes a long time, even if it is very frustrating, whatever, that, you know, God has the timing worked out and that He will deliver what He promised. Because there are so many days when, you know, especially when we sat there and waited for 9 months. And, you know, between the time that we finished our paperwork stuff and then getting matched. And there were days when we were like, are you sure this is happening? Okay, you know, just that faith walk. And actually, like, right about the time we got matched with McCall, Terry shared a little devotion with me that said that if God has blessed you with a silence, that it is that it's a blessing, that God has said, you know, I've answered your prayer, just relax, you know. And it's like, oh, the silence is somehow a blessing. Okay, all right, whatever. But I just, you know, we were rolling the American dream, you know, had careers in the house and the two kids or whatever. This was not our plan. Like, you know, I just want to make that clear, because the Bible says that God will give us more than we could ever ask for or imagine. I didn't ask to adopt a child. I didn't ask to have a daughter. I didn't ask to have three kids. This is the abundance. Like, this is the over and above that God will bless you with. And so I just wanted to point out those couple things. And she's really mad. And I want to thank y'all for all the prayers and all the support and all the tears and, you know, definitely all the fundraising, because without you guys and so many other people, there's no way this could have happened, because we didn't have the funds to make it happen, you know. And so God is a God of wild plans. This is, to me, Him sending us all the way across the ocean to get a child and bring her home, make her part of our family, is just, it blows my mind. I'm a very in the box kind of girl. You know, this is the kind of stuff that God wants to do. If we will lay down control and just let Him have His way. And that's all this was, you know, step by step, is just saying, I don't know what you're doing. I don't know how this is going to happen. But we're going, because you said go. And so anyway, I just wanted to praise God for that, and to thank you all for your everything that you've done to support us. And I'm just thankful that she has all of you to grow up with, and that her heritage gets rich from here, you know, that no tears, Terry. just her getting here was just the first step. You know, and I was praying with the boys last night. Of course, you know, the goal is for her to receive salvation and go forward and complete all that God has for her. And so just knowing that, you know, it seems like we've done the journey, but we're not. Like, we're just, you know, we're just taking off here. And so just thankful for all that y'all will contribute into her life. And just, I just can't wait to see what God has planned for her, because as far as blessing us back, because like I said, you know, this was not in my life plan at all. And so just, you know, the riches of God is, we're just looking forward to it. I'm excited to see what's ahead.
Thank you, Beth. We're not going to do a baby dedication this morning, but I'm going to pray for them and praise, joining me in praising God and thanking God for McCall and Jackson and Will. And we've even got both grandmas here today. I know that they're excited, but, we're going to just join me in praying for them, and really a praise. And sometime, if you haven't heard the story about McCall and all the details that went on across the sea, then you need to hear that part of the story. All right, I know our TV time limit's just about up. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for this family. Lord, I thank you for McCall. God, I thank you for Will and Jackson, Bethany and Matthew. What a praise, what a blessing they are. God, I thank you she slept through the night last night. I know that's a huge blessing. Amen. So, Lord, I pray from this point forward, God, she has been dedicated to you long before this. But, God, we thank you for her. We pray your blessing on this family as they continue to acclimate, as she continues to acclimate. Lord, I ask your protection over them. God, I pray you keep evil far away. And, Lord, we look forward to the day when she says, yes, Jesus is Lord of my life. We love you and we bless you. In Jesus' name we pray all this. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
All right, if we can get your cards and envelopes, that'd be great. May God bless you with an awesome, awesome week.